the questions I'll pass out to. So, okay, offering the mic up now, Matt, so we'll get official here. Okay, let's see where we are. And I'll be mainly in 2 Chronicles 24 this morning. Of course, the parallels go in here. Most of the stuff will come to 2 Chronicles section. We do some reading and look at some verses and stuff like that. So, okay, here's our chart we've used before. On the left is the northern kingdom, Israel. On the right is the southern kingdom, or Judah, starting off with Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And I put this up here mainly to do a couple of things here. This, and Ahaziah, and both sides here, almost the same time going on. You got Athaliah, who tied back to Ahab and Jezebel over here, although she is a queen, if you will, on the other side over here, reigning over there. You have a Jehoram on both sides. That gets confusing. And today we're going to get a Joash. Names on both sides of the list over here. So this is that confusing section where it gets really mixed up as to, well, you say Joash, which Joash you're talking about, and things like that. So, anyhow. But these are the kings we've been through thus far. Over here, no good ones at all. Over here, a few. Asa, Jehoshaphat. We'll talk about Joash today a little bit and his good or evil part here of him being our lesson today, whatever. So that's kind of where we are right now. So with that, okay, set the scene. What's going on in Judah this time? Athaliah dead. She's out of the way now. Joash is the king. How about the southern kingdom? Now we're in Judah. We'll get to Israel in a minute. We're in the southern kingdom. So Joash is king. Started, he became king, what age?
Seven.
Okay, he's a child, very, very child. Therefore, needed a strong influence from who? Jehoiada, who was the high priest. Okay, so that's kind of where we are sitting right now in Judah. The young king, of course, he's gone older now. Jehoiada made him king. Athaliah, all her treason. She was killed. And that's kind of what we left off of that part before. What's the situation here? All right, that's question one on your sheet there. Number two is, what tremendous task does Joash want to undertake? He wants to rebuild the temple, restore the temple. The temple's now about 150 years old, built by Solomon originally. Okay, so that would be back over here in this time frame. 960, 950, that general here, and we're now down here. Later on, back over, maybe in here over here now. We moved on through here. So the temple is old. But what did really happen to it? Where did it get, besides its age, what else had happened to it? Look at verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 24. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 7. Albert got that?
For the sons of the wicked Athaliah had broken into the house of God, and he commuted the holy place of the house of the Lord.
Okay. New King James, are the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman. Well, that's worth noting too. Her legacy, she's dead now, but look at what her legacy is. Athaliah, that wicked woman. As I said on the tombstone. Trevor, that wicked. I went a little too good. So, anyhow. Yeah, I followed up. In which case, it really was. Had broken the house of God and had also presented all the dedicated things of the house of God to the Baals. So they stripped it out, used it for that. So you got age, you got this the way it'd been treated because there was no holiness to the house of God anymore. I mean, the Baals were what they looked to all the time. And so it was in and out. So there's a lot of problems there. That's a lot of usage in her idol worship during this time here. So Joash wants to repair it. Number three on the paper. What's it take to do building? Got out of money, okay? So, where does he go about getting his funds? Okay. Now, he says, go collect the money. Like Bill said, commands the priest to collect his money. Now, was this a special collection just for this? No. It was the taxes they should have been paying part of which should have gone to the priest already for their well-being and things like this. And we'll get into that a little bit more here in a minute. They tell them to go collect this. To go collect this task. How do they react, priests and Levites? They didn't do too good. Okay? They kind of put it off. Not sure why exactly. But they didn't go out there and get this money and get behind the project like Joe actually wanted them to.
Out of practice.
No? Yeah, out of practice, yeah. They've not done much of this for a while here. So that delayed in this activity of getting this money for there. So he saw, hey, nothing going on here. I want to get this house of God repaired, rebuilt. What kind of king is Joash at this time? Good king or bad king? Good king, okay. Because the influence of Jehoiada, the high priest, okay. That influence is still going on here now. So he saw no progress is being made. So he calls men again. Okay, guys, you know, I told you once, now I'm telling you again, okay. Go get this thing done. So what they do? How do they go about collecting the taxes? Made a box, drilled a hole on top of it, so that the money, the coins could be put into it, and placed it where? In the temple, next to the altar there. So when you came in to worship at the temple, you would make your deposit into the collection chest there. Okay, place this box in there to collect these offerings. Now, look at chapter 24, verse 11. See what the reaction was here to this. How did it work out? Trevor, you got 24:11?
So it was at that time when the chest was brought in the temple by the hand of the Levites, when they saw that there was much money, king's scribes and the high priest's officers came and emptied the chest, turned it to his place. Thus they did day by day, and carried money in abundance.
Okay. The people reacted to the request to build a temple. Money in abundance. How often they emptied it? What did it say? Day by day. You look around in 2 Kings, it actually said it was daily. So every day they came in and emptied this chest out. There was money in abundance for this task of rebuilding the temple here. So the chest worked to get it in there and do that. All right. So that's where Joash is as far as getting his money to rebuild the temple and get it built up there. Money in the chest was paid to the workers. And notice this. The workers were faithful and honest. Use the word faithful there with their pay. But you know, somebody read through this and comment about this a little bit. They were faithful to their pay. What they did, the priest got the money out. The scribes, they counted, they collected it, and used that money to pay the workers. And what's said about it, Doug?
Basically, it's a principle of honesty.
Okay, I think the point I'm going to get is told better back in the other one. That's the point I'm getting at, Bill. Exactly. Here we go. Yeah, go back to Second Kings chapter 12 and look at verse 14 and 15. But they gave that to the workmen, the money they collected, and they repaired the house of the Lord with it. Moreover, they did not require an account for the men into whose hands they delivered the money to be paid the workers, for they dealt faithfully. Now, contrast. Put that on your tombstone, as opposed to what we talked about a while ago. Ain't got an account for the money. Here it is. Deal with it. They were honest in it. They faithfully dealt with the money that was given to them. Gardner Hall particularly comes to my mind then. Number of times over the years, Gardner has asked for funds to go on a trip for this or do this and whatever. When Gardner gets back, he'll send a report back to us and said, I had $27.47 of your money left. You know, I'll return it to you or do whatever type of thing. I mean, you just don't worry about it. No, I mean, there's others, I'm sure, that's the same way. I mean, but Gardner's always struck me one that come back down almost to the, okay, I need an air ticket now. It's going, you know, to this travel, and here's the bottom line. I got $47.36 of your money left. Did you worry about giving Gardner money next time? Not a bit. Okay? Because he's going to be very, very faithful and true with what he accounts back to you there. So, yeah, it's a lesson here. How many of y'all feel like expense reports at work? Or turn them in? Yeah. A lot of us do, okay. Anybody have a question, expense report? Or do you have a reputation that says, as Trevor put it down, it's gonna be right. But Tracy put that on there, I know he spent it the way he's supposed to. And that's a reputation we all look for. That when I turn my expense report in, It's honesty there. Watch, look at me for a question. Okay, maybe too much on that. This just struck me here. Okay, the work was done according to the original plans of the temple. They put it back like it was. Okay, that was their intent. To put it back like it was there. So, and after the work was completed, the money was taken then to use to buy some other vessels for the temple. Okay, any more comments about this restoration of the temple? We move on to the Jehovah here. So with Joash's intent, the priests to do this, collect the money. They didn't do it. They got involved in it for the chest there. Abundance of money came in. They used it in a faithful, honest way to restore the temple back to its original condition after 150 years. Yes, sir.
In the St. King's County Chronicles, the Chronicles talks about being bronze and iron and being workers. Well, St. King's stone cutters and the next day, but it was not even silver or gold. So even though there was a structural repair, the beauty and the splendor of that.
And the money's not there. I mean, the kingdom itself. In fact, I was a little. I came back. I changed the viewer out here. I got my things at one at a time on the screen, but now my backup don't work. So anyhow, I got to fix that next. But I was in kind of wondering when they brought money in abundance day by day. Where did it come from? This kingdom is not that big anymore. It's not like the Solomon territory and all the trade routes and the taxes that we imposed on them, things like this. So I'm not sure where I had that abundance of money to come from. But maybe it's there. That's what it says. But you can't go back to that splendor. That's just not the wealth of the kingdom anymore. It's just not there. Okay, let's shift gears now and talk about Jehoiada. Question number 4. Jehoiada dies. Question is, where is he buried and what word describes his contribution to there? Jehoiada is 130 years old now. 130 years old. Which for this time would have been an old man. I mean, this time of the longevity thing we've heard in early parts of the Bible, it's not there anymore. So this would be an old man. So, Jehoiada dies. Well, how do you describe his service? Done well. He's faithful. That's what we're looking for there, yeah. Been faithful in his service. Jehoiada had been the kind of person he should have been. The influence there. He's the one that had kept Joash on the right path up to this time. Apparently, a very, very, very good guy there. So, I'll keep in my head my notes here. His influence kept Judah faithful. And look here where he's buried. Except for the kings, which would have been a tribute to him. How many times have we read about a certain king not buried in the sepulchre of the kings? Because like that person left. And now here's Jehoiada that was buried in the sepulchre of the kings in Jerusalem. Because of the kind of life he had lived. This is the 37th year of Joash. So now Joash has been reigning for 30 years. He's had 30 years of influence of Jehoiada. Now Jehoiada dies. So from 7 years to 37 years, that influence has been on him there. Yeah, in the house of the Lord. That's where he grew up, right. Yeah, which was his early childhood there. Okay. So now we come to this topic. Joash after Jehoiada. We know what kind of influence he had on the first part of his life, and he was there those 30 years. But now Jehoiada's dead. And so we have Joash after Jehoiada now. So, question number 5. After Jehoiada's death, what does Joash, a good king, okay, do? What's the request they make of him?
Those that wanted to continue to worship false gods.
Okay. Not just, I mean, continue is a good word, but now they're going to elevate which one now to the higher place, okay? Now, they just took all this money and rebuilt this temple for who? Jehovah? I mean, that's what his head was there, okay? But now that influence is gone, and these people come in, and the princes make a request of Joash, apparently, in regard to this idol worship. And the request comes in. Now we have a choice. What's Joash going to do? But he has a choice, okay? He's got 30 years of influence from Jehoiada. But Jehoiada's now dead, and this request comes in. And now where's his strength? So he listens to their request and yields to it. To this request to increase it.
Good 37 years. why he would, unless they threatened in some way, there's nothing said about that.
Also makes me wonder, maybe this is right or wrong, I mean, how much of you doing is Joash doing to please Jehoiada on a personal basis? Because he didn't want to cross Jehoiada. Yeah. How many times? As long as he was there. And then when he was gone? How many times have we said we read the phrase, and we'll say it again later, I think, in this lesson here. They served him, but what? Not with a loyal heart. Okay? Now, I keep wondering in my mind, was Joash serving the Lord, Jehoiada's influence, but he never had his heart? I don't know that. So that thought comes up. I'll interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, your standpoint, we have to make sure that God wants to do
right.
Because when we're gone,
God is what's right. Okay. And you want that's the part that comes with what you said. It's comes in my mind with Joash here. Well, he served because of Jehoiada was there. Jehoiada's gone, and now, here you go. I don't know. Doug?
If we're not careful, we'll also bring in church. People will follow the preacher, follow God's word.
Yep.
From God.
Yep.
We have to be on.
I remember a man here years ago. Some of you will understand the story, but others what I'm talking about, others won't. But attended here for years, was not real active, but attended here for years, heard sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. And his wife died, he remarried, and next thing you know, he's gone to the Baptist church. Well, of course, the strength all those times. How many times have you heard those sermons over and over and over? They just bounce off? Jeff made a comment to me yesterday. He wasn't listening to preaching anymore. Came and asked us this. Yes. 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 Yep.
13, 14.
Yep.
One of them is, it translates over the time of Christ in the New Testament, rebel against Christ because for him to initiate what he was trying to do, that meant removing them from power. Same thing here. Those who wanted the power for the idol worship didn't have it while Jehoiada was alive. As soon as he died, they saw an opportunity and get the power back. That's just my thing. Throughout the Bible, everything is done for a reason, but it's back to human instinct.
Oh, my way. Yielding is a hard thing to do. Yes, Greg.
Bob makes the point of this section like this several times that how he explained the swiftness with which one side to the other. And he makes what logically leads to a good point, it seems to be backed up by passages that involve a remnant. But when you see a section like this, this is the prevailing winds being described. This is the general attitude of men, but when there was great wickedness in the land, and contrary, whenever there was wickedness, a revelation of the throne,
it's on both.
You would have an element who were secretly working the Nile, so wanted to do the work. So they were always there, kind of waiting in the wind, waiting for prevailing winds dominated.
And many times we read about as a good king with faithful service, but he did not do what? Did not take down the high places. You know, see that little part is still there. Okay, Zechariah, who's Jehoiada's son, warns Judah about his idolatry. Speaks up against it. That good remnant that Greg's talking about back here. So he speaks up against it, and he didn't come out too good. So, what happens to him? He had him killed. Well, here was what he was saying. Look at 2 Chronicles 24:20. That's where this is. 24:20. The Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord that you cannot keep prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." One of the topics for our summer classes, the very first lessons from Genesis 1 and 2, where it said, "And God said, and God said, and God said." And here he tells, this is what God said. Over and over, God said. And that's the point of this lesson. It's going to be kind of here. It's got that lesson, don't you hear? Yeah, God said. Who is God? He has the right to say these things. He is, I am. He is, he has that right. He's the creator, we get from Genesis 1 and 2. Here, God said, do this. And they forsook it. Okay, and the point I'll get to is here, because you've forsaken the Lord, what? He forsaken you. Flip back and look at 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2. This is another prophet that has spoken just a short time back here. But look at the similarity here. This is Azariah, the son of Obed. Somebody read verse 2, 15, 2.
And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. How many of you, but if you
pray. One time they told him that, another time they told him that. Same things, same thing throughout. I wonder if it applies about a couple thousand years later.
He also told him before it happened.
Oh yeah, it's been tested. It's a whole thing through there. So if that thing was so persistent then, do you think it's any different now? Yes, Charles.
He was.
I made the observation about the nature of
that only God
can say, thou shalt. All civil government cannot do.
And God can say, thou shalt not murder. State can't say that.
But it says, if you do murder, here's the penalty. Difference in the nature.
Go back to what we heard in our lifetime growing up.
Changes going on in this country.
They cannot legislate. Fears that
oil.
And they essentially legislated morality by the strong arm technique. People's hearts were not changed. As soon as that leverage was gone, people went back wanting to do. The observation on that, we're gone, we want children to be faithful. Gotta be, I really can't say enough about this word, converted. Underline it, put it in quotes, put it in bold. Converted. Not just baptized, converted. Free. Peter's sermon. He converted. Need to realize our duty, have our duty as elders. We could enforce and maintain. As soon as you're gone, guess where we must be taught.
Very strong. That's all, man.
But as soon as he dies, it seems to me like as soon as he dies, it means who's waiting for him to die to say, it won't happen as long as he's still alive.
Yep.
Just sit it on.
Take care of it here. Yep. Okay. God, you're forsaken Jehovah, he's forsaken you. Joash commands he'd be stoned. Kill him. I don't want to hear what he's saying. That's one way to get rid of your problems, right? So wipe them out.
What happened to a lot of times,
over and over.
Jesus.
Instead of turning, they stoned them. That's right. Okay, we're going to shift gears now a little bit. Look at Israel.
The last thing that was reported about Zechariah is he said, the Lord will go with everything.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to come back to that in a minute. Not Israel, shoot. We got a couple more things in Judah. Hazael. Where's Hazael? King of Syria, okay, number 6 on the paper there. Hazael, king of Syria, sends an army against Jerusalem. Why? That's the question here. Let's get that. He's already subdued Israel, the north. Remember the little small kingdom we saw last time on the slides, how small they'd gotten down to? And he's captured the Philistine city of Gath. Where's the Philistine territory? Over on the next to the sea, Mediterranean Sea, on the western side. Okay. Sends a small army to Jerusalem. Small army. Don't leave much down there. And Joash surrenders to him. Some of the officials are killed. And look at what 24 says. 24:24. The army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, but the Lord did what? Delivered a great army, a large army, comparison size-wise, into their hands. Why? Because they had forsaken the Lord their God, their fathers. Okay? What did this read mean to go? What did Zechariah tell them? Forsake the Lord and what? He's going to forsake you. Okay, you forsake me, I'm going to let him come in and take care of you. I'm not going to protect you. Exactly what we see happening here. Because they had forsaken the exact same word here. God, their fathers. And they executed judgment against Joash. God allows these things to happen. Brings them in for this punishment. Is that a new cycle? Have we seen that before? How far back? Maybe Judges, for example? Over and over through there? Same type thing here. Okay. So, Joash. Hazael left Joash wounded. Wounded. Who's going to kill him now? Some of his own officials, his own servants, are going to kill him. Two of them executed judgment against him. Why? Because what he had done to Zechariah. Okay, they're avenging the blood of Zechariah. Any reason for Joash to have killed Zechariah other than they just told me something I didn't want to hear?
that more reason not to kill him.
Yeah. Of his father all that time there. Okay? But he didn't do it. He killed him because he told him, that's not what I want to hear. Cut your head off type thing. So they avenged his blood here. And now look at this one. So about Jehoiada a while ago, look at this good king, quote, that we had here earlier. He's buried in Jerusalem, but where? Not the king's sepulchre. Did not get that honor because of the way he lived his life. Now, I'm going to get out of time if I'm not careful here. Somebody turn to back quick for me and read Ezekiel 18, 24 through 26. Ezekiel 18. Greg, you don't get that? Ezekiel 18, 24 through 26. Use this recently on a Wednesday night talk. But to me, it just came out to mind here. Ezekiel 18, 24 through 26.
But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked does, shall he live. All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, because of the unfaithfulness of which he has been guilty, and the sin which he has committed, because of all them he shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is not my way which is fair, and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity.
Seems to be exactly fits into Joash's life here. Good man did wickedness and died there in that condition. Okay. Amaziah, his son, is now king. So Joash is gone. Move next to the next one now. So Amaziah is the king. And let's look at Amaziah here a minute. That's number 8 on your paper there. 8. It's Amaziah is the king. Number 9, we'll get to in a minute. He's 25 years old when he becomes king. And reigns for 29 years. Not a lot said about him here. 29 years. Number 9, what is said of his service to Jehovah? Here's that phrase again. Look at chapter 25, verse 2. 25, verse 2. Yeah, but what, Bill? Not with a loyal heart. We've seen that before, okay? Yeah. He did what was right, but not from the inside. Okay, not from the inside.
When later on the prophets talk about the reason they were going to go into captivity, that you're doing all these things, you're going through the motions.
Right.
But your heart's not.
Right. What back in the 1 Samuel 15, when Saul offered the sacrifices, what did Samuel tell Saul he wanted? Obedience. Where'd they got to come from, forever? From inside, not this surface stuff out here. It goes over and over and over through that. Okay, idolatry continues because of this up here, and he executes the ones who had killed his father. But he executed only them and not their children. That point's made too. Because the children should not die for the sins of the father. So that comes there. All right, now we're going to shift to Israel right quick. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. Getting a little slow here. In Israel, question number 10, seen in Israel. Jehu is reigning. He had reigned for 28 years. He dies. He's buried in Samaria. Okay. Jehoahaz, his son, is now king. He is the first of 4 descendants of Jehu. Remember that phrase we read earlier about Jehu to the 4th generation? He's the first of those coming here now. First of 4 descendants sent on the throne. And back in 2 Kings 13, chapter 2, the evil side of the Lord had followed in here, the same old phrase over and over and over. And the sins of who? Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat. Made Israel sin and did not depart from them. Over and over and over, those kings of the north, I read this phrase about them. So that was Jehoahaz. Okay. Now, he makes one final plea. Let's look at this. The Lord delivered Israel from the hands of Hazael, king of Syria. We had that on the slide earlier. About before he attacked Judah, we talked about he had already subdued Israel. And Jehoahaz is left with no defense, essentially. Very, very small kingdom now. We talked about that already. So, in desperation, he finally turns and pleads to the Lord for help. I got nothing else to rely on now. Got nothing else to rely on. So, that. But look what here. The Lord does have to deliver for him. And in 13:6, even at this, though, even with this, they still did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam. Patience No less than patience. Let's look at God throughout the whole Bible here. Patience and patience and patience. I did want to look at one thing here. I'm going to get out of time. Look at chapter 13 right quick. Verses 4, 5, and 6. 2 Kings 13. 2 Kings 13, verse 4, 5, and 6. I have one phrase here. Verse 4. Jehoahaz pleaded with the Lord. Verse 5. The Lord gave Israel a deliverer. And verse 6. They appreciate it. Nevertheless, they did not depart from the sins of the house of Jeroboam. Appreciation. Ask God for something. He gives it to you in a time of dire need. Got what I wanted. Now I go right on. All right, a couple of new kings going on here now. There are two new kings. Jehoahaz dies. His son is Joash, we call it Jehoash. He's now king in Israel. So we got these names going now. We got Joash in Judah and Joash in Israel. So Joash dies. His son Joash is king here. And Hazael, king of Syria, dies. And who's the new king there? Ben-Hadad. So Ben-Hadad is now king in Damascus, in Syria. And we got one more thing right quick, one more key thing. That's the Elisha, his death. Look at it real quick. Elisha's very old. He's deathly ill. Okay? And Joash, king of Israel, goes to visit him. I mean, Elisha is in Israel, is in the northern kingdom where his prophecy was. He recognizes Elisha's strength. It's been Israel's strength. He's what has kept them as close as they could to what's right. And he says, and Elisha lays his hands on it. He says, draw your bow and shoot. He shoots the arrow out there. And what's the significance of these arrows and what he takes and strikes the ground with them? That's how many times did you have victory over Syria? How many times did he strike the... Three times. What did Elisha tell him? It should have been more than that. Okay? I wish you had done it more than that. But three times, you'll have victory over Syria, and then after that, it's going to be bad. So, yeah. Okay, get your pastor bell. Anything else for anybody? Sure. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what I was trying to make earlier when I said I would like to have that written on your tombstone. Okay. Jehovah's faithfulness, Athaliah's wickedness, and this. All right, thank you.